Andy Cap walks home from the pub, arm in arm with a friend, singing "Dear Old Pals." As he enters his house, he calls out, "Yoo-hoo, it's me," and then passes out on the floor. His wife walks over to him and covers him with a blanket. Andy says, "Thanks, sweetheart." His wife says, "Don't mention it." Then to herself, she says, "Never take your problems to bed with you." Well, that's one way to deal with a drunk for a husband. But as bad as having a low-life husband stumble home totally wasted, far worse things happen to us in this life. But what's worse and not so can be dependent on the eyes of the beholder. We read this morning about the apostles. Only Peter is identified, so we don't know how many of the others were with him. This was maybe about 1 or 2 years after the birthday of the church, the first day of Pentecost after Christ's ascension. The church had been steadily growing, tripling in size or more, now the size of a large American megachurch. They had now grown so much to become impossible to ignore, not to mention endangering the status quo. So the Sanhedrin had them arrested again. No longer just an irritant, they now posed such a serious threat to the power of the religious establishment that the powers that be determined that what they had themselves had done to Christ Jesus, assassination, now had to be carried out on these leaders of the Way movement. But cooler heads prevailed. For among them, the foremost expert of Jewish law and the laws of Moses was Gamaliel. In our day, he would be addressed as Dr. Gamaliel, for he had today's equivalent of multiple PhDs. He was the most highly respected elite scholar by the elites. His was, essentially, the final word on matters of Jewish law and governance for the Sanhedrin. Parenthetically, he had a gifted and exceptional student under his wing, namely Saul, who, after his conversion to Christ and answering his calling to be the apostle to the Gentiles, began to use his Greek name exclusively, by which we know him as Paul. Interestingly, at the advice of Professor Dr. Gamaliel, Peter and the other apostles, who'd been caught once again blatantly, illegally preaching in the temple courts, spreading misinformation, the fake news that Jesus is the Messiah, and been hauled into the Sanhedrin again, were spared the death penalty. Though the high council was so enraged by their insolence and disrespect of their authority, such that they all wanted to have them killed instantly, it was Dr. Gamaliel's words that stayed their hand, mostly. Though their lives were spared, still the Sanhedrin had them flogged, scourged with the 39 lashes. Similar to what Christ Jesus himself endured before his crucifixion. And it was that similarity to what the Lord had endured that gave these outlaw felon apostles great joy. Acts 5:41 reads, "The apostles left the high council rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus." Rejoicing? I doubt that would be the typical reaction by a typical American Christian today. A more likely scenario would be for these Christians to hire some high-powered attorneys, file a class action suit against the High Council for unjust imprisonment and illegal physical assault resulting in great bodily harm. They would sue for damages in the multiple millions of dollars. And once winning their court case, they would gladly and proudly give much of the settlement funds to the mission board of their church. Sound about right. I am so very glad that the apostles did no such thing, but went back to the temple and picked up right where they left off in their preaching the truth about Lord Jesus. But we must ask the question, if we had been in their places, how would we have reacted? Going back a few years, in today's gospel lesson, we find them on Resurrection Day. Some claiming to have seen the risen Lord Jesus, but others not, hearing seemingly conflicting reports that he was alive or something or other. Truth is, their Savior, Lord, Messiah, and Deliverer was simply gone. He had been crucified, buried, but now his body was missing. What really was happening? The fact is that he'd been convicted of treason and executed. His followers, they themselves, seemed almost certain to be the next targets of the authorities' wrath, which explains why they were holed up in this locked-up, nondescript house that evening. And as if, well, no ifs about it, to show them and convince them of the new agenda, really not new at all, that lay ahead of them, all of a sudden, Lord Jesus just up and appears right in front of them, out of thin air. Of all the cotton-picking things to say, "Peace be with you," he says. Fortunately, the Lord is just a bit smarter than we are, and he actually knows what he's talking about, unlike most people. The perfect words to both proclaim, pronounce, and produce exactly what these guys needed, both then and for the rest of their lives. Peace. And peace that can come only from the Prince of Peace. There's no other peace but that which comes from him. As Lord Jesus spoke his peace into them, his words continue to work all these thousands of years later. They work in us if we let them. For as confusing and confounding as that first Easter day was for them, our own day is even worse, and getting more and more so with each passing day. For it's been 2,000 years. We're now nearing the end of this age. And as Holy Spirit has explained to us in Revelation 12:12, the devil knows that his allotted time on earth, during which he can wreak havoc and chaos, is swiftly closing. He's doing his darndest to make things as bad as they possibly can get before Christ the Lord returns to initiate the Great Reset, which first inaugurates the millennial kingdom on this earth when Lord Jesus directly reigns and Satan is chained in the depths of hell, becoming but an unpleasant memory on this earth until he's totally forgotten, as if he'd never been at all. We believers, we followers of Christ, are his sheep. And because we spend more time concerned with the things of God than the things of this world, right, then it stands to reason that we're not experts on the depths of the ins and outs of what's really going on in this world, what the devil and his evil minions are busily working on through their clueless, willing, antichrist people wielding the levers of power throughout the world. The Lord said in Luke 16:8, "It is true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than are the children of the light." Truly, the evil in this world is beyond our comprehension. We simply do not think in such depraved, debauched, and vicious ways. It's not natural for us, thank God. But in these last days, we have to be prepared. And to be prepared, we have to inform ourselves of what we're up against. America is not lost yet. Father God, using us, will yet turn her around. But right now, we are a lawless banana republic. The laws are used against the law-abiding us simply for telling the truth. simply for saying that a man can't become a woman and a woman can't become a man. Simply for saying that God is real and Jesus is God and the only and exclusive way to heaven. Simply for stating what we all should know. There is no man-made climate change, for climate naturally changes all the time. Simply for telling that people are inherently evil because we're all sinful, that only God is good, and our only goodness comes from the shed blood of Christ Jesus, who, by the way, is alive and living after having died on the cross and will be coming back quite soon, in fact, and will take to task all who oppose him and the irrefutable truths in the Bible. They will be doomed because they have mocked God and not repented, and God will not be mocked. We're living now in a fake America with an illegal president administration put in place by Chinese rigged elections in Brazil, too, enduring man-made pandemics to be treated with planned malicious drugs and vaccines while our environment is being saved by impossible to afford green solutions which actually poison the planet and us, so that we die off quicker, so fewer babies are born, and more sacrificed to the demons being worshipped by names such as freedom, democracy, choice, rights, autonomy, progress, etc., etc. Our very DNA is being altered in front of our very eyes, while artificial intelligence is developed to persuade us into correct thinking. The very basics of survival, water, food, shelter, are being rationed so that eventually we'll all be forced to accept the new cashless digital currencies and finally the mark of the beast and worship the monstrous artificial intelligence controlled by Satan himself through UFO alien saviors. Many who know the truth are already being martyred, but at some point Christ Jesus will call us up from the earth in the rapture that we may be spared the worst of the coming tribulation. But as this world comes to its bitter end, our Lord assures us, "Peace be with you." Since he is with us and we're with him, we have nothing to fear. Peace be with you. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for always knowing the perfect thing to say at the perfect time. Thank you for your peace. In Jesus' name, your name we pray. Amen.